I'm going to ask Julie to come and share our reading with us this morning. Thank you, Julie.
This morning's reading is from Luke, chapter 19, verses 11 to 27. And in the New International Version, that's on 10:53. The parable of the talents. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 talents. 'Put this money to work,' he said, 'until I come back.' But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, 'We don't want this man to be our king.' He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, 'Sir, your talent has earned 10 more.' 'Well done, my good servant,' his master replied. 'Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities.' The second came and said, 'Sir, your talent has earned 5 more.' His master answered, 'You take charge of 5 cities.' Then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your talent. I have kept it away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you, because you are a hard man. You take out what you do not put in and reap what you do not sow.' His master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit, so that when I came back I could have collected it with interest?' Then he said to those standing by, 'Take this talent away from him and give it to one who has 10. "Sir," they said, "he already has 10. He replied, "I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be a king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me." Amen.
Thank you, Julie. I want to share some personal experience with you, because the chosen theme for the service today is prayer in everyday life, and then with a focus on chaplaincy. In terms of chaplaincy, I'm probably the least qualified to talk about it. I've never been a chaplain. I have stood in occasionally for the street chaplains in the pub, very great privilege, in the summer period. But I've never actually been a chaplain. Throughout my career, I have believed firmly that faith should be practiced in the workplace. I don't know about you, but when I was younger, church was in one place and work was in another. And never the twain seemed to meet. I actually believe, and believed all the way through, that actually our faith should be there where we work and where we interact with other people. And in particular for me, it's been about the ministry of reconciliation. There are always arguments, there are always differences, and that's a richness in our human condition. But if we can bring the ministry of reconciliation to situations, that takes us forward and into God's presence. I've employed chaplains both in industry and also when I've been chair of hospitals, and I've really valued the input of chaplains because they bring a different perspective, and also I've been supporting Cambridgeshire Workplace Chaplaincy and its predecessors for the last 15 years, and that aims to bring chaplains together to support each one, to share experiences. But I'd like to share a story about prayer in the work context with you. I've got lots of examples, and I'm sure you have many you could add for yourselves. But if I go back, and I'm sorry to go back 50 years, but I was a pretty junior industrial relations officer on a big building site in Brixton, London Borough of Lambeth in London. And I walked into this situation, which was pretty dire, because they had managed to have very poor labour relations. And somehow or other, I was supposed to make a difference. I didn't quite know how. And I can remember a situation in a smoke-filled porter cabin, because everybody smoked in those days. And there was about 25 shop stewards and a few of us on the management team trying to find a way forward. And I was a very junior member of the team, and it got to an impasse, and it was pretty clear that unless we found something to get us out of this, everybody was going to be on strike the following day. And I suddenly found my colleagues were all looking at me. Why me? I didn't have a solution. And I suddenly felt sick. I went to the loo. I was sick. But I prayed. I did what you might call a dart prayer to get us out of that. I came back into the negotiation. I can't even remember what it was now, to be honest. But whatever I suggested actually produced a solution. It wasn't my solution. I believed it came from God. Some of you will be able to say, hey, yes, I can remember doing similar things like that. So I think from that, I'd like to focus on this parable of the talents, because we are all given talents, and it's how we use them. And indeed, as Julie has read, those talents can be something that we can build on. And my feeling is that those talents, through the use of prayer, can multiply and can give us the route through for God's blessing and God's will. And so it's about, I think, that passage is saying to us, you're given gifts in life, use them effectively or you'll lose them. In terms of chaplaincy, and this is where I want to come and link the two things together, chaplains use talents in their work. And they do it in amazing ways. But equally, the challenge is to acknowledge that much of their work is positive, but unseen, but nonetheless very important. And our challenge for us here, if we want to support our chaplains, is to continually value and encourage their work, because they're actually taking our belief, our gospel, out into the workplace. They are a visible presence in that workplace. And so this is why I want to focus today on some feedback from chaplains. But before we do that, let's go back a bit in history. The history of chaplaincy goes back actually right to the issue of the building of canals and railways, and the issue of the navvies that were recruited and then suddenly descended upon a community. And many in the church would see that those people needed help. And then, of course, chaplaincy in the early 20th century became to prominence within the First World War and then latterly the Second World War. And then we see chaplains very evident in heavy industry. Many of you, if you know a bit of that history, will find that many chaplains ended up as mediating between management and labour. But today, chaplains are very much about dealing with the individual. So they're focused, whether it's in prison, in the police, military service, fire service, schools, university, hospital, football teams, often in multi-faith teams, or also now we have chaplaincy in the marketplace with the street chaplains here in Peterborough. And how do you measure this? How do you measure what goes on? Now, rules of confidentiality mean that you can't really pinpoint individuals in this situation. But using anonymity and the role of supervision, good results can come across. To me, the core value of chaplaincy is the contribution to human dignity due to the undivided attention the chaplain gives to the individual and the opportunity that comes for prayer, which we'll hear about later on. And I've been reading a bit by a person called Michael Main, who was former Dean of Westminster Abbey. And he has written about prayer being giving attention. So it's undivided giving attention, and it's giving attention to God, and it's giving attention to individuals who need the support of our prayer. And it's basically around our core belief that every person is loved by God. Now, I'm going to skip a lot of this, I think, because I want to get to the core issue of the challenge of change in our workplaces and where we are, because we're in a different situation to the chaplains that were there before, because we are in a place where things are changing around us. We see it very clearly in our shopping habits. We see it in what's happened since COVID. And it's now there's a lot of talk about a loner culture in our society, where so many people are suffering from loneliness. Those of us who volunteer for the Welcome Wednesday Hub see that there are so many folk that are actually lonely in our society. And this is where I think chaplains have a big role, because it comes back to this undivided attention. There's a lovely expression which many chaplains use about their work. They say, we're loitering with intent. So they're hanging around, actually being available for a conversation. Could we pray, please, all of us now, for the work of our chaplains? Dear Lord, we thank you for chaplaincy. We thank you for those who give their time, give their love and devotion, and spend their time in prayer in chaplaincy. We do thank you for them here in this church. We thank you for chaplains elsewhere. And we thank you for the opportunity we have, Lord, of taking your gospel into every place in our lives. And we thank you that we can pray wherever we are, in the situations that we are faced with, for your will to be done. Praise your name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to ask Florence now to give us the benediction.
As you leave this place, may the living Lord go with you. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you,
above you to watch over you, and beneath you to lift you up from your sorrows, within you to give you the gifts of faith, hope, and love, and always before you to show you the way. Amen.
Amen.
And as you can see, that's a benediction that was written by a guy called Blair Money. And I'd just like to thank Clive for, and the others who took part in the service, because it's been a cracking morning, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So thank you very much.